Hello, this is Father Michael Eads from the Toronto Oratory, and you're listening to Lectio et Oratio, a short spiritual reading podcast followed by a reflection. Life of St. Philip Neri by Antonio Galonio, Book 2, Section 15. He becomes one of the founders of the Fraternity of the Holy Trinity. Since Philip was greatly enamored of the idea of helping his neighbor in whatever way he could, he set out to establish a fraternity dedicated to the Most Holy Trinity. Along with Per Siano Rosa, a priest of noted holiness. Their plan was that the brethren should open a house to offer hospitality to the poor who were convalescent from a recent illness and to pilgrims. The group began in the church of San Salvatore in Campo in the year of our salvation, 1548. In the fifth week of August, on a Tuesday. The first to be enrolled in the confraternity were poor in human resources, but rich in the grace of Christ. There were 15 of them in all. They met frequently in the church of San Salvatore, where all went to confession and were fed with the bread of heaven to give them new zeal in their quest for holiness. They all respected Philip as their father and held him in great affection. On the first Sunday of each month, the brothers decided to make the 40 hours devotion, during which Philip used to give them much encouragement by his presence, strengthening everyone there by the example of his life and his devout words, which inspired them towards virtue and religion. He would pass virtually the whole night there sleepless and would wake the brothers himself for their period of prayer. When they had finished their devotions, he would say, "Your hour of prayer has passed, but you still have time to regret your sins and pursue religion." In the same church, Philip often gave sermons about holy matters, which were attended both by the brothers and by strangers. The fruit he gained from these discourses was that his listeners were so inspired by the strength of his words that they found themselves remarkably compelled to purify their minds. He had such facility of speech that although he was the only one of the brothers with the ability to discourse about holy things, he could pass whole days and much of the night talking about such matters, all but oblivious of himself. Certainly, this work produced great results through the goodness of God. With a single cast of the net, he hooked 30 young men who worked as jewelers or tradesmen, catching them on the word of God and calling them back from depravity to decent living. This I cannot pass over in silence, how those who first enrolled in that fraternity were of no ordinary degree of sanctity. The cook for the house, as our Holy Father used to tell us, attained such a purity of life that, through God's help, he attained great facility in prayer. And by looking at the sky and the stars, which was his great interest, he would be immediately caught up in the knowledge and love of God. There was another who was lying seriously ill in bed and said to his sister, Margarita, "Write this down. I will die on Friday at this specific hour." And so it came to pass. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Angels of God, our guardians dear, to whom God's love commits us here, ever this day be at our side, to light and guard, to rule and guide. Amen. Most Sacred Heart of Jesus, teacher of teachers, have mercy on us. Saint Philip Neri, gentle guide of youth, patron of thy own, vessel of the Holy Ghost, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Encouragement. That's the word Father Galonio uses tonight to describe what Saint Philip was doing for the people that heard him. Much encouragement by his presence. He didn't even say his words. His presence was an encouragement to them. His presence at the 40 hours devotion. Saint Philip and this little band of brothers that he founded with his confessor, Pier Cinerosa, introduced into Rome this somewhat new devotion of the 40 hours devotion. So from the time Jesus died at 3 p.m., he was buried all Friday, all Saturday. And if he rose at 7 a.m. when the sun rose, that would be 40 hours in the tomb. And so in Milan, they began this custom of exposing the Blessed Sacrament in a monstrance for 40 hours. And that's what Philip brought to Rome on the first Sunday of every month. They would have this devotion. And Philip was there, this layman in his mid-30s, and he was an encouragement with his prayerfulness by his good example. He strengthened them by his life and by his devout words. Let us ask the Lord for the grace to set a good example for others. And let us ask for the grace to want to encourage others. For the Basil Cole, the Dominican, in an article a few months ago, spoke about this time of COVID, this time of being at home, as a chance to grow in prayer, a chance to grow in study, but also a chance to spend our lives in encouraging other people. This business of encouraging people, of giving them courage, of giving them hope, is very vital. It's very, very vital. And how do we give people hope? How do we encourage them? Well, first of all, it's Christ himself who makes use of us for that. But the only way to grow in hope is to believe that certain things are possible. If something is impossible, we won't hope for it. We desire things that are difficult. We hope for them only because we've somehow been persuaded that they're possible. They might be difficult. They might be in the future, but they're possible for us to attain. And what Philip showed people was that you can live as a layman in the world and be holy. You can be unmarried and be holy. You can be fairly poor and be holy and happy. You don't have to be rich. You don't have to have all these things around you to serve the Lord. And Philip saw that what was needed in Rome at the time was that these pilgrims were coming to Rome to visit the holy city, and they had nowhere to stay. And he recruited these band of brothers that they would create a home, like a little hotel, one that they could take care of these poor pilgrims, wash their feet, give them a meal, place to sleep, help them get to confession, care for these pilgrims. And when there was extra room, they turned to look after the convalescents, those who were being discharged from hospitals, but who still needed a lot of strengthening, you see, strengthening. When we're convalescing, we've gotten cured of our illness. We haven't been restored to our full strength. So we have to be encouraged, strengthened bodily, but all of us have been cured of the sickness of original sin. And none of us have reached heaven. We still carry with us some of that poison of the snake bite. We still carry with us some of that sickness. And so we need encouragement, we need strengthening. And if we want to be encouraged above all, we have to draw near to the Eucharist. We have to receive communion every day if we can. We have to make time to go before the Blessed Sacrament, the tabernacle, in a monstrance, so that the Lord himself can strengthen us and encourage us. The Lord stands by us. We are not by ourselves. Things would be impossible for us left to ourselves. But we are not left to ourselves. And the Eucharist, the Holy Eucharist, is the proof. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.